Hello, and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast by Mike Harbath at Revenue Rocket, broadcasting from my home in Prior Lake, Minnesota. Today we're going to talk about the second half of 2020 and M&A deal structures for IT services companies. As you guys know, we've had a tumultuous first half of 2020 with a variety of things, and we are now looking forward to the balance of 2020 and how things will play out. And in this session, I want to talk more about deal structures and what to expect in structuring. So I think most companies this year are going to continue to try to preserve cash. As much as they want to do deals, they want to preserve cash. And what's fascinating about this time in M&A, at this period of time in M&A and IT services, is that we certainly see a lot of buyers coming into the market, and buyers that want to do transactions. At the same time, they're juxtaposed to trying to preserve as much cash as possible. So what does that mean? That means, one, that valuations will be buoyed by these more structured deals, ones that involve less cash. And we think that, you know, typically transactions have been trending towards more cash up until the first quarter of 2019 over the last several years. And we think that they're going to pivot now to much more structure, as we call it in the industry. And those structures include things like earnouts where you get a gain share with your buyer based on the performance of the business post-transaction. And we think that, you know, earnouts, as a matter of fact, are almost always paid out. In our space, about 86% of earnouts get paid out at or above the index value. So there's a preconceived notion that earnouts don't really get paid out. And I think, you know, we've certainly heard a lot about horror stories of companies that accept earnouts and then they don't get paid out. The biggest issue with that has to do with structuring. So you have to have a knowledgeable advisor or someone on your side that has structured earnouts that get paid out so that you can enhance your ability to receive those earnouts post-transaction. I think you also have to be very, very astute about how you forecast your performance moving into negotiating an earnout. And I would certainly recommend you speak with your advisors on how to do that moving forward. I think certainly we're going to see stock versus cash as currency as well. Certainly we've seen that already in some of our deals that were under letter of intent kind of going into the COVID-19 crisis that have been retraded. And those deals that have gotten retraded successfully certainly are ones that have moved from the cash portion of their transactions to more stock and more stock opportunity and more opportunity to participate in the upside and take a future cash out. And we're certainly going to see, I think, more companies using stock as currency. The challenge with using stock as currency, if you're a buyer, is that it's exceptionally expensive currency. When you look at the cheapest way to buy a firm, certainly is for all cash. And you get the most leverage against the purchase price by paying all cash. But in an environment where most businesses have some uncertainty and they want to preserve cash so that they can fund, you know, if there's some downturn or maybe second wave of the virus or, you know, if unrest continues in some of our cities, then ultimately, I think as you look at cash, you just have to understand it's very costly currency. And we facilitate a lot of mergers. A stock swap or a stock as currency oftentimes is much more like a merger than it is an acquisition. You're going into business with someone that you're merging with and ultimately swapping stock or exchanging stock in the your enterprise for the equity in their business. And it means that fair valuation approaches need to be applied to both sides. And again, probably means that you need some outside help on facilitating that. But I certainly would expect to see and probably recommend, if your goal is to preserve cash and you're a buyer, to evaluate using stock as currency. We see sellers generally pretty open to using stock as currency. I think you just have to remember that if you're a buyer, that this is exceptionally expensive. And if you're a seller and you believe in the combination, it's probably pretty good for you, particularly if your goal is to what we call sell in versus sell out. If your desire is to sell in and be part of something bigger, and you don't, you know, you're not at a point in your career or your life where you need to have access to the cash just yet, certainly doing a stock swap or the lion's share of your transaction as stock is a great way to go. We see also more seller financing, debt financing. So if you're a buyer and you're going to go acquire an IT services company, you know, you have a couple choices, right? You certainly can go get a bank loan, and those are available and continue to be available as we move through the end of the second half of 2020. And usually you get, you know, the good news on that is you usually can get some pretty attractive terms and amortizations, periods or time to pay back your loan. Interest rates are at an all-time low, so the money is very inexpensive. And ultimately, you can facilitate a deal that allows you to pay back that loan maybe as long as 10 years. That makes cash flowing the acquisition much easier. And ultimately, you know, easier to get a deal done. But if for whatever reason bank financing isn't an option for you, you can approach a deal with seller financing. And seller financing usually means that the seller is saying, yes, I'll finance a transaction at a certain interest rate for you. I will carry the paper of the acquisition for you. And you have to pay, you know, a premium for that, frankly, over what you would pay on a bank loan. It's essentially a higher risk situation, and we've seen seller note interest rates as high as 15%, and they can be, but it is a vehicle for you to use if you're a buyer, and frankly, if you're a seller, if you don't need the money right away and you want to transact a deal, you certainly are not going to get 10 to 15% on your money anywhere else. So it can be a good solution provided your buyer is credit worthy and you have the appropriate remedy should they default on that seller note. I think also as you think about transactions in the second half of 2020, you know, creativity kind of rules, right? I think, you know, being able to be creative about whether someone is buying, you know, part of your business with stock and maybe an option to purchase the rest of the business at a certain valuation, or they're doing some combination of cash in stock or cash in earnout. We think there's lots of creative ways to facilitate transactions. I think with all that said, what we're seeing on the valuation side is not a big not a lot of pressure on sell side valuations because, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, these types of structuring models or creative structure tends to require a slightly higher valuation be paid to the seller because of the additional risk that the seller's taking. And you should just be aware of that. I think we've also seen, and we mentioned this on other podcasts and on our YouTube channel, Revenue Rocket, that there is certainly been a lot of buyers coming into the market. There's been a lot of buyers on the sidelines, both strategics and financial buyers, that are moving towards IT services right now. And when we see a lot of buyers come into the market, it certainly buoys sell-side valuations or buoys valuations in general. So with the combination of structuring, like we're talking about buoying valuations, and in general, the number of buyers that are coming into the market, we think this will have a fairly positive impact on valuations. And, you know, if we look in our crystal ball, we think that valuations will probably land as we move forward about where they were last time, last year in the second half. So In H2 of 2019, we think valuations will be about the same in H2 of 2020 due to all these factors. Another thing we see that's been kind of interesting is the change or exclusions to material adverse effect, or what we call the MAC clauses, the material adverse change clauses that are in most purchase agreements. These MAC clauses protect both buyers and sellers. And oftentimes now we are seeing exclusions for COVID-19 or the fallout from COVID-19. So be aware of that. Your lawyer can certainly advise you if you're contemplating a transaction on, you know, what does it mean to include or exclude or have exclusions on the material adverse conditions or material adverse effect clauses. So with that, I think we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week, the middle of June 2020. Have a great week, and look forward to speaking with all of you next time.